Welcome to Agayotut. On today's show, we're going to talk about mindfulness. Okay, welcome to another show called Agayotut, which is about helpful ways. And in this show, we talk about helpful ways of living and thinking and maybe some tips that could apply to you or maybe not. I'm Diane McGachran, and with me is
Esther Green.
Esther Green. And we have known each other for a very long time. And so part of our show is just some of the conversations that we have and that we want to share with people. So the first show that we did was How to Greet the Day. And Esther shared some ideas about preparing for the day when you first wake up. And the second show, we talked about attitude and what kind of attitude that can help you get through your day. So today's show is about mindfulness. Now, there are a lot of reports on mindfulness that you can see if you're in the social sciences or in psychology. And what they're finding is the way that you think and the way that you use your mind actually influences how your brain cells develop. And this has proven to be a very interesting field of discovery for mainly Western scientists, because indigenous communities have teachings and practices on how to be very careful with your mind, your thoughts, and that mindfulness was a way of being all the time in indigenous communities. So today's show, we're going to talk more about mindfulness. What is it and how you can practice it yourself? And also how this idea of mindfulness has been here all along. It never went away. Okay, so today we'll begin with Esther. You had a word that you use a lot for mindfulness. You want to share that word and tell us about it?
Mindfulness in Yupik overall is called Munahjariak, and this has to do with in everything you do, whether you take care of food, how you take care of yourself, and how you use your mind very, very carefully and in full aware.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That part of mindfulness has to do with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness of who you are, where you are. And another part of connectedness another part of mindfulness that's really important is being connected to the here and now.
Yes, yes.
What do you think of that?
It is. When you're in tune, deeply in tune to yourself, These things, when you are used to doing them, like my Jiulaks, which means my ancestors, did that every day because they've learned it in the beginning of awareness of something.
Mm-hmm.
This was taught to them, and this is, it's passed on from generation to generation.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we've talked, we've talked about how that part of being connected is, and the part of being aware is being aware of the kind of thoughts you have, like not being stuck in the past. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, so talk a little bit about that.
Munahjariak, the way to be mindful. And it also connects with treasuring everything, including the universe, and its beauty, its decorations of the universe, or tassels.
Oh, like the tassels that hang off of a someone's parka that are very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing the universe as having tassels that you accept and appreciate. Mm-hmm. And that's neat.
Some of the tassels are uncomfortable. Some of the tassels are not fun. Uh-huh. But that's the world itself. And another way to treasure the land, the people, plants, animals, and things that are in water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've also heard you talk about this idea of treasuring or respecting even things that have happened to you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that?
Good and bad things, I look at them as my treasures. Hmm. I've forgiven them, but they have not gone away completely. But they're there. They're behind me. Looking at them, those ones give me good lessons to live by.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different way of looking at what's happened to you in the past and seeing only a very dark negative about it, but to kind of move toward appreciating all your experiences in life and the lessons.
I wasn't that way. But then after I took care of myself, got to know who I am, what kind of person I am, all those negative things that I did without even thinking, after I got to know all those things of myself, and that's when these kind of thoughts start coming in.
Oh, that's interesting. It's kind of like you made room for seeing it in a new way.
When I discovered I was living in a miserable, I had a miserable life and not knowing it, but I discovered that after I took care of myself.
Oh, that's good. You know, that the way I started the show, I talked about how scientists are studying the brain, and they're studying how if you feed your brain a lot of negative thinking all day long, every day, all week long, your brain will kind of go along with it and will create what they call neuro pathways. And after a while, thinking negative thoughts becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost becomes like an addiction because your brain has kind of gone along with it. The really great thing is the brain can change.
Yeah.
And you gave a really good example of that about when you look back on your past and you see it as a treasure, everything was a treasure, all your experiences. And that led you to thinking all the lessons that you can learn from them. That actually changed your brain development when you transitioned. And I think that's really fascinating. And it seems to me your ancestors had an awareness about that, because it seems like people were cautioned a lot about what you do with your mind is very powerful and to be very careful with it and how you use your mind. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as it relates to things like subsistence life or, you know,
Being mindfulness, like I said before, is connected with everything you do. You pick berries and you focus on picking berries. When you do that, when you're cutting fish, your focus is on only fish or any other birds or moose, caribou, whatever, to be focusing on what you're doing. And that's a way of being mindfulness, in which we call monachjak.
And I I notice when I go out to the tundra, when I've been picking berries and I focus just on the berries I'm picking, time just seems to just fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not thinking about anything else. And it's a way to kind of comfort my mind. It calms it down,
mm-hmm.
gives it some relaxation.
In doing what we do, it's just like thinking positive and not thinking about negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two don't work together. Positive thinking and negative things. Thinking. Because when you are in a negative ways, you're inviting more and more negative things.
Oh, it's like a magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you're thinking positive, you're inviting a lot of positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Because your mind tells you you want to learn, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to work so hard to practice some of these things because I still have a lot of learning to do.
You know, in the beginning, when you start using your mind, when you're on positive, it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen overnight. You have to keep doing it, even though you forget. You're allowed right now, right this minute, to start.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Right this second, you can begin. And that's why with mindfulness, there's already subsistence life that is a very rich, mindful practice. And for some people, meditation can help them with that. Prayer can help you. What you're doing is just trying to quiet your mind,
mm-hmm.
so that it's not in control,
yeah.
and leading you in these different directions that are not great, or
yeah.
bringing negativity to you that you don't want. So that's why some people meditate. They might take 5 minutes or 10 minutes where they don't think, they try to just sit very quietly and they just let their thoughts come and go.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hook on any thoughts. They just let them come and go. And you'd be surprised. It is hard to sit, even for 5 minutes, just sit quietly.
Yeah.
It's a very challenging thing. And so that's one way to practice so that you can start to help your mind calm down and not be driven in these different directions.
Mm-hmm. My experience, because I want to do it, every time I'm going to work on something that's large amount, you know, I just say a little prayer and I believe and I expect what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's like meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Is sort of like praying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And prayer is directly between you and your Creator with faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful way to put
it.
Yeah, I like that. And I like how you have told me about how the fish, when you're preparing fish,
mm-hmm.
how negative thoughts will show up in your fish.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you can talk a little bit more about that, because that's a really deep connection with the world around us, to really describe that relationship and connection that we as humans have with that fish.
Okay. For our mindset will match something that we're working on the way we want it to. Because we are connected, the fish come to me to take care of it properly.
Right. See, I think that's really beautiful that the fish kind of has a consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Even moose, caribou, any food,
mm-hmm.
anything, berries, plants, you know.
Have kind of a consciousness.
Yes.
An awareness in their own way.
And when we look for them, they show themselves to us.
Right.
When we do this, we are not only thinking of ourselves. We have a goal sometimes to think about people who are unfortunate. And we want to share with them, and this comes out of compassion.
So when you're preparing the fish, when you're working on subsistence food, you like to have a sense of compassion. What else do you think is going on when you're really mindful in your preparing?
Compassion, and you have love in there, and really deeply respect what you're going to do with it and how you're going to take care of it so that it'll be pleasant, you know?
Well,
yeah.
I'm thinking of a story of me and you, and I'm reminded of the time, you know, I love those strips, the strip bellies. Oh, I love them a lot. And you had given me a bag. Well, I came to pick you up one day, and remember, you got in the car, and I was eating the strips. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, these strips are so delicious. And as I'm driving, I'm eating the strips. Now, you were very quiet. And then later, when we got where we were going, before we got out of the car, you said, wait, I have something to tell you. I said, oh, okay. And you said, those strips are not potato chips. And I sat there. I had been a little admonished there. And of course, what you were pointing out to me is this isn't a mindless food. This isn't something you eat like it's a potato chip and without thought. And it was a great lesson, because then I started to, you know, think more carefully and realize that food has to be treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yes.
It's always a funny story that I like. When you have this relationship, this respect that you're having with the fish and how you prepare it.
Respect what is to come, whether it be meat, fish, bird, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this container had been used for some other to carry something, when that thing is out of the container, you have to clean.
The container.
Container.
I have noticed that you do that.
And
that's
when you're done cutting fish, you do not leave your cutting area all messy. You have to clean it.
I've seen that
with
too.
With love, kindness, compassion for what's to lay or get into the container or what's to lay on your cutting table. So you, with deep respect, compassion, and love, you got to prepare.
And that's something that a fish will want to come back to.
Yes.
So it's a kind of a flow, like there's a relationship back and forth between what you're doing, the fish, and... Yeah.
These are all what the Yupik ancestors do. Probably other cultures they do too, not only Yupiks. And however what you prepare turn out, it matches your attitude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, when I've gone back behind your house and seen like your fish all lined up, and I've seen this at other people's fish racks too, every fish looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cuts are the exact same distance.
Mm-hmm.
The fillets look the same, and they just are in row after row after row. It's very powerful, actually, to see that, because you realize, wow, that person really was mindful.
Yes.
Even if they had 50 fish to process, they were mindful on every mm-hmm. single one.
And every fish is cut the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They look beautiful.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of it right now. That's really cool. So that idea that our mindfulness and the fish's mindfulness come together.
Yes.
I remember you were telling me about those blackfish traps, and I think that's so interesting. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. There's a story I think many, many of the people know. I may not tell it like it is, like other people heard it, but I'll just start off with, once upon a time, there was this blackfish swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Blackfish swimming. And he comes to traps. They were not very good-looking traps. Some were made sloppy, and some were dirty. Mm-hmm. Some were filthy. And that blackfish says, I'm not going to go in there. I won't be comfortable in those kind of traps. And blackfish came to a nice, shining, sparkling, clean trap. And he thought, well, now look at this trap and those other traps. This one is the best one. It's a really nice, cleaned container. I'd want to go there. I better go back and tell the other blackfish. I found a good
container.
I found a really nice, clean, spick and span trap. So the fish swam back and came back with a bunch of the fish followers.
Mm-hmm.
And they all rushed in, they raced in. And we can look at that when the fish are done, you clean the containers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on that blackfish story.
Interesting. So that includes like the tubs, the buckets,
yes.
The table, the ulu, everything that...
Even our mat that we cut fish on.
I saw that. I saw you scraping that a lot and keeping it clean. Yeah, so that's... That is part of the mindfulness, and I think about a long time ago, your ancestors were careful like that 24 mm-hmm. hours a day for
and
survival.
And then when, yeah. after all the containers are cleaned, your table, your mat washed, what do you mm-hmm. put on when you're cutting fish? Then when that one is done, you look around, you don't... And pick up every little piece of fish scrap that may have fallen on the ground. Pick it up. Pick it up.
Mm-hmm. That kind of reminds me of Pukuk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another funny story we had. Remember when I had a plate of chicken bones? You had a plate of chicken bones.
Yeah.
And there was a big difference between the two plates. My chicken bones were sloppy. They still had meat on them, little bits of meat. Yours, very clean.
Mm-hmm.
Not a stitch
of meat
on there.
I was taught that way to eat.
Right.
Eat my food mindfully.
And
I never run around to eat my food. I have to sit down, concentrate on my food.
Right.
To eat.
Yes, I've learned a lot from observing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed even the way I see food and the way I eat food. So
wow, yeah.
I really appreciate that. And that reminds me that what we're talking about with mindfulness is something that can be learned by any people.
Yes.
Now, indigenous people, they had mindfulness as part of their day all the time. And mm-hmm. probably if I went far enough back with my ancestors, they did too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in my ancestors, it's been lost along the way. But what I think is wonderful is when Indigenous people keep a hold of all that, keep working on that, because many of us on the outside, non-Native people, we need that. We need to learn that in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see, you know, Indigenous people as models for me to learn from, which is really nice. So I was going to say, well, we're going to close up. And is there anything you want to summarize in Yupik about what we've talked about? Or is it? It's a lot to summarize, but just maybe just about the idea of mindfulness and being focused on the here and now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only focus on what you're doing, and when your mind is all clocked up and you think something from the past, that will take away your appreciation for the fish that you are taking care of right this minute.
Awesome. That's good. Yeah, that's a great message.
Even you sow, make parkas, mukluks, whatever you do, we have to be mindful. Munachza. And when we plan to speak, we have to munachzak what we're going to say.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
So
just
true.
Just a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had this little quote from Michael Yellowbird, Dr. Michael Yellowbird, who you have met. He came and co-taught a couple of the Rural Human Service RHS classes.
Yeah.
And he's in North Dakota now. He's a member of the Ikira tribe. He's a social work professor. And he does a lot on mindfulness. And something that he wrote about it is, and he's an Indigenous man, so he says, what I tell Indigenous people when I introduce them to mindfulness is that a lot of the practices are a way of training our awareness, helping us regulate our emotions, our fears, and developing clarity, being really clear about yourself and the world around you. And I tell them that the practices prepare us to clear away the neuro networks of colonization, because he believes that some of this negative thinking is part of colonization or the result of it.
Yeah.
And our brains are actually, in a way, becoming colonized in the way the brain chemicals and cells work. So he's saying, move away from that, become more mindful, and it will clear up some of that. And then he goes on to say, mindfulness can make us ready to develop insights into the deep contemplative ceremonies, which are sort of the spiritual ceremonies, prayer, however you practice, ritual, dancing. Yes.
Potlatches,
throwing
seal parties.
Well, now we're happy. We want to go and do some of that. That's right. And so he's got a really great idea. He thinks about that a lot, and he talks about how this mindfulness can be healing.
Mm-hmm.
It can change how your brain works so that you are a more balanced person, and that you can, it's a healing practice.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I like it. And to get into these kinds, because you're working out of your mind to do good things for yourself. When you believe in that, you're not doing it for nothing, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have no belief, I experience that. If I don't believe in what I'm positive thinking about something, if I'm thinking negative or say I don't know, maybe not, maybe it will, you know, 2 minds,
mm-hmm.
it won't work, but you have to have 1 mind. And to learn how to be in this kind of trail, it takes a lot of practice.
Well, that's the key is, and what you said earlier is really great. That practice can begin right now.
Yeah.
This very second.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it in really simple ways. When you're washing dishes, being mindful. When you're sitting on the seawall fishing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out hunting for moose, you're probably in a very mindful state.
Yeah.
And so the key is, can you develop that mindful state to last all day long?
Mm-hmm.
That level of awareness and clarity. And that's kind of sums up our show for today.
Mm-hmm.
Our
yes.
Mindful discussion.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. I'm getting hungry ever since we said that.
I know. It's time to go
see the party.
It's time for us to go eat. So I'm going to end with something that I remember you said one time on the tundra. We went out to the tundra and you said, you walked out and you put your arms up and you said, I'm ready for the universe to massage my being. And so we'll leave that for you, everyone listening.
To think about.
Yes.
How does the universe massage us?
Excellent. Thank you for listening to Igayutut, hosted by Diane McGachran and Esther Green. Produced by KYUK.